Ukraine's eastern regions have been the scene of deadly clashes between pro-Russian forces and Kiev troops since November 2014. The violence erupted in the wake of political developments in the country, which led to the rise of a Western-backed government at the expense of a pro-Russia one. So far, efforts to bring the conflict to an end have proved futile, with the warring sides accusing each other of violating a 2015 truce accord signed in Belarus. The conflict has further pitted the West against Russia, as Washington and its allies accuse Moscow of trying to create a sphere of influence in Ukraine. The Kremlin rejects the allegations, but that did not stop the US and its Western allies from adopting punitive measures against Russia.
I think ideally it will be if Ukraine says that we would prefer to be neutral and negotiate with east of Ukraine, then the situation will be settled. But if Ukraine persists, Russia shows that we can also persist. We can have this east Ukraine, which can declare itself independent.
Now, a surprise announcement by the pro-Russian leader of self-proclaimed Donetsk People's Republic in Ukraine's east has cast cloud on prospects of resolving the crisis amicably.
We believe that the Ukraine state in the form that it exists after the collapse of the Soviet Union is not subject to restoration. We representatives of regions of former Ukraine offer to re-establish the state and in place of the former Ukraine based on historical premises to create the country of Malorossia. In this case, renaming the country is critically important, as Ukraine, as a state, is guilty of war crimes, mass terror and violence against its own people.
We see that this Minsk agreements are not really followed by both sides and by Kyiv in particular. So there's still some bombardment of Donetsk region goes on and so on. So it's maybe one way or one reason for this announcement is to somehow to force both sides to sit down and negotiate. But another more concrete reason, I think, is around July 10th or 11th, Kyiv parliament, Ukrainian parliament, made an amendment in one of their laws that they see that joining the NATO is their priority.
The pro-Russian leader said the move was backed by delegates from different breakaway regions. But a statement from the neighboring Luhansk region said it had been unaware of the initiative. Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko rejected the idea, describing the announcement part of, quote, a puppet show orchestrated by Russia. Moscow, however, immediately distanced itself from the plan with the Kremlin, saying the statement was Zakhachenko's own initiative. The formation of a new state also drew the ire of some Western governments, including Germany and France, who had mediated the Minsk peace deal, which now seems to be faltering at a faster pace.
But if you know Ukraine is not, Kyiv is not willing to sit down, is not willing to negotiate, then they basically say, okay, in that case, let's move from there diplomatically. We are now new entity. Let's renegotiate. Or there is another interesting kind of possibility. They can say that we are actually a real Ukraine. Other territories on the can join us.
With a stagnating economy, widespread corruption, and an ongoing conflict in the East, public opinion has been turning against Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko. Since taking power, Poroshenko has been blaming Russia for various issues facing the country. Amid mounting pressure, weak leaders will always be looking for scapegoats. And in the case of Ukraine, Russia seems to be the perfect one. That said, the continuation of the conflict in the east of Ukraine seems to be benefiting Kyiv and its Western allies.
New tensions between the US and Venezuela. The Venezuelan defense minister has condemned what he calls gross interference in the country's internal affairs, after reports said that Washington is readying fresh sanctions against Caracas.
Muy especialmente repudia con la mayor firmeza posible.
I strongly condemn the harmful statements made by the United States President Donald Trump, who, in an attack against our independence, dares to threaten in a very vile manner the Venezuelan people.
The U.S. is preparing sanctions against several senior Venezuelan government figures, including the defense chief, Vladimir Padrino Lopez. This is part of the Trump administration's efforts to ratchet up pressure on the Venezuelan president, Nicolas Maduro, amid a continued crisis in the Latin American nation. Venezuela considers the U.S. actions as a violation of its sovereignty.
The short answer is yes, of course, you know, there's interference in the internal electoral process in Venezuela. And a lot of people are fooled because they read mainstream media and very little else. And you know, the 2002 documentary, the Revolution Will Not Be Televised, that should be watched again if anyone wants a clear narrative of what is going on. This is just being repeated again here. Maduro is always criticized, well, there have been failings and socialism isn't working. And, well, it's, you know, it's only, the only failings are that it is under assault and not succeeding in beating off the assault of this fascist opposition, far right wing opposition. And it's appalling that the reporting on this isn't better.
Meanwhile, Venezuela's opposition on Sunday held a symbolic referendum in defiance of the government to further pressure President Maduro. The opposition itself said more than 7 million Venezuelans cast their votes, rejecting Maduro's plan to rewrite the constitution. This is while 21 million Venezuelans are eligible to go to the polls, out of a population of 31 million. The turnout fell short of the opposition's 7.7 million vote showing in the 2015 legislative elections and the 7.5 million votes that swept Maduro to power in 2013. The Venezuelan government has set July 30 as the date when voters will elect delegates for a constitutional assembly that will have the power to rewrite the charter. Maduro says that the goal is to restore peace to Venezuela, but opponents see his rewrite bid as a power grab.
I mean, it was a laughably small number. The predictions by Lopez and Cabrillas and Borges and were four times that number, and it was a very embarrassing figure, so they're just trying to ignore it now. Look, people in Venezuela, if you walk through the poorest parts of Venezuela, you will still see almost every house has a photograph or a poster of Chavez or Maduro. They know whose side they are on. There's no confusion about that. They may criticize Maduro, they may be frustrated with food shortages and all kinds of things that again are the fault of foreign interference.
The fact that Venezuela is grappling with its worst economic crisis in years has surprised many observers as the country sits on one of the largest oil reserves of the world. Many inside and outside Venezuela blame the raging crisis instead on the U.S. government, which they claim is hell-bent on bringing down the government of President Maduro.
If you follow CNN or Fox or watch the propaganda documentaries on Netflix or any of these major telecoms and media outlets, you get this very distorted picture that people hate Maduro and they want change and all this stuff, and it's simply not true. So there's been direct interference by the United States.
Venezuela has been at the forefront of the struggle against the U.S. domination in Latin America since the time of former Venezuelan leader Hugo Chavez. Washington is believed to be coveting the Venezuelan crisis as a golden opportunity to bring about regime change there.